And you are listening to the first broadcast of Law and Gospel in 2016. And yes, I am Pastor Tom Baker, and I am coming off a sore throat. You have probably figured that out already. In fact, 3 days ago, I was unable to talk at all. So I thank the Lord that yesterday at Emmanuel Rosebud, I was able to do divine service and preach. Had some great microphones there. And so I hope you will continue to listen as we're going to be taking a look at a reading for the baptism of our Lord. But strangely enough, even though the gospel is about the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptizer, the epistle reading is from Romans 6, which talks about our baptism. And so I want to talk about our baptism on the basis of Romans 6, 1 to 11. It begins by saying, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now, what does that mean? Context is everything. And therefore, you have to go back a couple of verses to see what was Paul talking about. Well, on Law and Gospel, we have made a point for a long time that the law, this is verse 20 of chapter 5, that the law came in to increase the trespass. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that the law causes us to sin. No. But when you hear the law, your old Adam, your sinful self, wow, I don't want to follow the law. Try this with your children. Tell them that for the next hour, you don't want them going into the basement. And then go out of the house to the garage or something. Guess what the kids are going to do? They're going to go into the basement because they want to know, why are we not supposed to go into the basement? In other words, you have made a new rule, and that increases their rebellion because their old Adam wants not to follow anybody's rules, and they'll go into the basement. It's really interesting to watch little kids. You tell them not to do something, and as soon as you turn away, a lot of times they do it again. So Paul is making the point that the more we understand the law, the more aware we are of how sinful we truly are. And therefore, in that sense, sin increases. But the more that sin increases, then grace from God also increases to forgive our sin. And that's why he starts chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, well, if we get more grace as we are aware of sin, should we continue to sin even more? And of course he says, by no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? And then he begins, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Now, even though the Sunday is the baptism of our Lord, it has to be related to our baptism. Because if you don't see the connection, you don't see the purpose for which Jesus has come into the world. He's come into the world in order to give us the forgiveness of sins. He has come into the world in order to help us recognize how much we need him. Now, two things happened to Jesus during that Holy Week. He died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. Somehow, God needs to relate that to you and to me, so that it is as though we ourselves have died on the cross, and we ourselves have risen from the dead. And the way God does that is through the Pentecost baptism. Listen to chapter 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I'm not sure that a lot of us realize that that baptism into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is the means by which God puts us on the cross, puts us in the grave, and therefore guarantees our resurrection from the dead. It is a promise that he has given to us because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we realize that, we begin to understand how the means of grace are both word and sacrament. The sacrament of holy baptism is a way in which God transfers to us the blessings of Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection. Listen to verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, and that, of course, is through baptism, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now, how does that happen? Verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Now, that's really important to understand, that if you join in his crucifixion, you'll also be joining in his resurrection. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Why would that be? Well, in contrast to the ceremonial laws, where the people had to sacrifice again and again and again. Why? Because, as Hebrews 10 points out, no sacrifice of the Old Testament ever brought the forgiveness of sins. It brought instead the recognition that we were sinners indeed, in need of a Savior. The way the people in the Old Testament were saved is not by doing the sacrifices. They were saved by believing the promises. What promises? Well, through Abraham, Isaac would be born, and he would be a blessing to many nations. Why so? Because through the seed of Isaac would come the Savior. That had already been promised to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:15. And so in that promise, we find the greatest good news that one can never, ever hear. And that is that something outside of us is coming to save us. A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. as Gabriel said to Emmanuel, as Gabriel said to Mary, Emmanuel, God with us. The very name Jesus, Hebrew Joshua, means he will save us. So Jesus becomes the fulfillment of all that we need to believe. Remember, Sarah was really old. God came to Abraham, you will have a child. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's a very important statement. Because in contrast to every other religion in the world, where nobody is saved through faith, but instead through obedience, in Christianity, a person is saved through trusting promises from God. That's why the Lutheran Church and other churches, including the Roman Catholic, believe that infants are saved through baptism, because it is a sacrament. It is a holy way in which God applies all the benefits of the cross and the resurrection to us. Going on with the text, the death Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What does it mean that you are dead to sin? It means if you were alive to sin, then the consequences of sin will still be yours. And what are the consequences of sin? The curse of the law. In the day that you sin, you will die eternally. But the death that we live, or that we went through in baptism, means that the consequences of death, eternal condemnation, we have died to in Christ. Forgiveness of sins means that you will no longer be held accountable for sin. That is a wonderful message. So, kind of to summarize what we're trying to do today, there's no doubt that on the baptism of our Lord, the gospel reading from Luke 3 talks about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptizer. But the epistle reading talks about the significance of why Jesus was baptized in order to begin his ministry as the Messiah, as the Christ. And that ministry included his going to the crucifixion and his being raised in the resurrection. What epistle does is help us to see how God has decided to transfer the benefits of the crucifixion and the resurrection over to us. He does it through the sacraments, specifically in baptism. As the water is poured over us, it is as though that we ourselves are joining with Jesus on the cross. And because Jesus fulfills the claims of the law, namely, that in the law you receive the consequences of sin, he was forsaken by the Father. But because we are with him on the cross, then the Father also forsook us at that point. He forsook us because of our sin, which Jesus had carried to the cross. Now that Jesus has risen from the dead, we now also have risen from the dead. In fact, in a couple of chapters past Ephesians 1, we learn that we have not only died with Christ, we have not only risen with Christ, but we have also ascended to heaven with Christ. In Christ, we are at the right hand of God the Father. That is why Jesus is considered the mediator between us and God. And we are with him because we are part of his body. He is the head. We are the body. And there's no place that the head can be without the body also being there spiritually. So in Christ, we have been crucified. In Christ, we have risen from the dead. In Christ, we are at the right hand of God. And being at the right hand of God, Jesus is the only necessary mediator between us and God. Now, on tomorrow's Law and Gospel, and I'm looking forward to that, because Pastor Mark Smith will be with us, and I hope he'll do most of the talking. But we're going to be taking a look at a hymn that is an excellent summary of the epistle reading and the gospel. It's called "To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord." But it's a lengthy hymn, has 7 verses. I want to read part of the 7th. "All that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. But before the eye of faith unfolds, the power of Jesus' merit." What this hymn does, it well does what we've been talking about. It takes the message of the gospel, that is the baptism of Jesus, and applies it to our baptism. And even though it seems like simple water, it's really the power of Jesus' merit now shared with us. "To Jordan came the Christ our Lord." Now, by the way, it was written by Martin Luther. We will not have time tomorrow to play the entire hymn. It's 7 stanzas. We want to try and talk about each one. So what I thought a good way to end today's program is to allow you to hear "To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord" in preparation for tomorrow's message with Pastor Mark Smith. And yes, I do believe I'm going to be on Issues Etc. this afternoon, doing another Sunday school lesson. But I will be resting my voice as best as I can. And yes, I do plan on being at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, Missouri, for the Bible study tomorrow at 11 a.m. We'll see how the voice goes, but it is getting better. So we continue then at this point. "To Jordan came the Christ our Lord." listening to Jordan Came, the Christ our Lord. As I indicated, this will be the hymn that Pastor Mark Smith and I will examine tomorrow. And it does a wonderful job because the readings for this coming Sunday about the baptism of our Lord includes both the baptism of Jesus and our baptism. And together, they show the importance of why we have been baptized, to receive the forgiveness of sins, to receive the curse of the law being removed from us. It's a wonderful, wonderful text. And we'll be taking a look at that tomorrow. And if in case you need to call me about any item that we're going to be coming up with, don't hesitate to give a ring at 1-877-267-1962. That's also how you can ring me if you would like to donate towards keeping Law and Gospel on the air. And then if you have some questions and you're unable to be with us on Open Mic Friday, then what I would want you to do is email me. And the email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. So we'll end the program now, and I'll try and take care of my voice a little better, and hopefully tomorrow I'll talk even better than I'm doing today. But we'll have Mark Smith with us. Until tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.